Well, these people have come out of the tribulation, so we know where they've been, and now we see that they are preparing to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles with the Lord. Notice that it says that never again will they hunger, and never again will they thirst, no more heat, and no more sun. Does this imply something? If they're celebrating the fact that they are not going to be hungry anymore, and they're not going to be thirsty anymore, and the sun is not going to beat down upon them, what does that imply has been happening to them? They've been going hungry, they've been going thirsty, and the sun has been beating them down. That is another reason why I would suggest to you that the idea that we make our exit before the tribulation is not substantiated in the prophecy. Because these are the very things that the prophecy says happen to believers as well as the rest of the world. But now we're in heaven and we're singing and praising God. I want to take time to show you one other thing. Turn to John chapter 7. One other indication that what is going on here is the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. John chapter 7 and verse 37. This is one of these verses where if we would just spend a little bit more time understanding our Jewish roots, the story will make a whole lot more sense. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, which feast is he talking about? Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." Others said, "He is the Christ." You've got to understand something about tabernacles. Of all of the days of the calendar, the day that we have just read about is hands down the loudest, most raucous, most joyful event in the temple. And it surrounded a very special celebration that took place at the altar of God. The children of Israel would go down once each day during these 7 days, and they would follow the priest, and they would go down to this special pool, and I think it was the pool of Siloam, but don't quote me on that. And they would dip these jars of water, and then the priest would, they would all make this incredible procession back up to the temple, waving palm branches. When they got to the altar, the priest would circle the altar and they would pour the water at the base, and they would rejoice and they would sing about the waters of salvation. For Isaiah had said, "With joy will you draw water from the well of salvation." This was one of the loudest. I mean, they were commanded to celebrate. They were commanded not to be quiet. That's really going to ruffle some of our feathers. Some of us are going to have to learn that God enjoys noise, as long as it's holy noise and praise. And I know that they're probably going to have to send a few angels out to teach some of the different church groups exactly what that means. I'm all for reverence, but God has times of reverence, but then he also has times of great celebration. And the Feast of Tabernacles is one of those times. Isn't it interesting that the Bible describes that when Jesus begins to make this incredible statement, "If any man be thirsty, let him come unto me," he literally has to yell to be heard. Why? Because the people are doing exactly what God expected them to do. They are celebrating this feast, which is the feast that represents the time when God comes to earth and makes his tabernacle with us. This is really, we're picturing the end.